Classy.
4K. Fantasy. Kate's a war.
Kate's a war.
Elves with lasers and tanks. Oh my stars.
Here does soft cover and hard covers. They actually do limited runs on their hard covers.
Yeah.
So, but when you pay more, you're actually getting something that's somewhat collectible.
Yeah. But you know what? The Chaos books have generally always been thicker and more expensive. I mean, going back to 5th edition Fantasy, Chaos were bigger and thicker.
5th edition Fantasy doesn't count. That was fucking Wild West. there was no structure.
3rd edition Fantasy, you had to have two books, Slaves of Darkness and...
Well, unless you weren't interested in playing one of the powers that were listed in there.
Yeah.
You don't have to have them, but that's what I'm saying. It was the Wild West. You can't talk about that. I like these upgrade packs.
Oh yeah, the upgrade packs are really sweet.
Are they fine shit or are they
you know what? I don't
metal.
I'm pretty sure they're fine cast.
No, because they would have put fine cast all over this page.
Fine cast on the
that
page.
That would have been like fine cast everywhere.
Well, anyway,
it's gotta be metal.
But anyway, I started recording, so we'll get off the bat right here. Welcome to Game Classy. I'm your host, Joe, and with me as always is the Dark Clown Prince of Crime to
Ooh.
My Batman, Steve.
Nice. I do kind of feel like the Joker sometimes, especially when I respond to your posts on Facebook.
You're more like the Penguin than anything. But,
yeah. Dude, that would be a sick costume for me.
What, the Penguin or
yeah,
the Joker?
The Penguin.
The Joker, you just look like a juggalo.
Yeah, it would not be acceptable. An interesting note about cosplaying as the Joker. There's a lot of people who dress as the Joker.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But I would say... Maybe this might even be too not broad enough, but I would say 1 in 50 actually look well.
Oh yeah,
look good.
Usually the Jokers they tend to like. I always have an issue like with people who like do the Heath Ledger Joker because I'm like
I don't like that. I don't like it, but Heath Ledger did that.
Yeah,
he's better than you.
I like
Stop.
The guy. I like the guys that do like the comic book.
The thing is, if they're not rail fucking thin,
it doesn't work.
It immediately doesn't work. Like, if they're just regular build. If you just have a regularly
or
built guy.
Or a fat guy, because it's Comic-Con.
Fat guy, regular build, or chubby guy, you should not be dressed as the Joker. Yeah. You should be one of the, like, Kevin-style nerds, where you're very thin.
Oh, yes, Kevin.
Kevin would be a fine Joker.
We're talking about Kevin, who was on the podcast, I think, episode, like, 2 or 3.
Yeah, he was
way back in the day.
Way back when.
Friend of us on the podcast. But anyway, Steve and I are sitting here talking about the new Whitdorf.
Yeah, I mean, it looks good so far.
It's my feeling. I wanted to talk about this because White Dwarf is seriously became like one of the shittiest gaming magazines out there.
It was the worst.
I don't know. It
took the crown and ran with it.
It got really bad. I mean, White Dwarf used to be the pinnacle of gaming magazines,
but that was before it just covered Games Workshop products.
No, not even during either. I still say the best run of White Dwarf was just 219 to 226.
You can't say a magazine is penultimate if it only covers one game system.
No, this is it. Doesn't matter. Well, because No Quarter only covers the Privateer Press.
How often do you hear me plug in No Quarter?
I know, but I like No Quarter as well.
I think No Quarter is a good magazine, but I would never call it the best gaming magazine because it only does.
Yeah.
War Machine.
Exactly.
The best gaming magazine's got to do multiple things.
Well, the way I'm covering it is it's the best gaming magazine in the terms of, okay, yes, it's only for one specific game system.
But it's level of content.
Level of content.
Okay.
Like, it makes me want to buy it every month. Like, I still say that 200 run from, like, you can even say from issue 200 to issue 300 were some of the best articles, best paintings, armies, pictures, coverage of events, things like that. Fantastic all the way through. And then all of a sudden, like after issue 300, it just went
ads for the you're buying advertisement for a game you already play.
I know, it made no sense.
I think it was just filler. I think they were like, "Ah, we need 10 more pages for the White Dwarf." It's like, "Well, just talk about
advertising."
Yeah, put in Dark Eldar in there. Yeah, just put a page. Tell them to buy Dark Eldar.
But anyway, they with the newest issue, I don't know what issue it is. It's like it says hold on right on the cover. What does it say on the side, Steve? What does it say?
October 2012. It does not have a number.
With the October 2012 issue...
It doesn't have a number.
They switched to a brand new format. It's very glossy. It's very swanky. It's slick, as I like to call it.
It's just October 2012.
No, that's good for that.
I would actually, I was about to say, I hope it's number one.
They just reboot it?
Yeah, reboot it. I actually hate these fold-out things. There's a big fold-out in, like, the first couple pages where it's a fold-out poster. I hate them because your pages always get caught bent. And they're stupid.
But anyway.
And the posters are always shit.
Yeah. No, they used to have cool ones. Like, they had the Eye of Terror one back in the day where you'd have the big, like, galaxy map.
Eye of Terror was cool. So you kind of, they kind of cheat
there. The Land Raider slash Rhino ones where they would have, like, the cutaways where they'd show, like, the interiors of the rhinos.
Damocles.
But anyway, getting back to the magazine itself, it reminds me very much of the old Cry Havoc magazine, which was the Rackham Standard magazine from way back in the day.
Yeah, that was a good magazine.
Yeah, it was $25 an issue.
It was expensive.
Well, it was a giant format.
Yeah, it was huge. It was a quarterly, wasn't it?
It originally was quarterly.
Yeah.
And then it moved down to...
$25 is actually a fair price point for a quarterly magazine if they pack it with 4 months or 3 months worth of content.
Yeah, but they never really did. But they'd give you cards and they'd give you like terrain tiles and things like that. But anyway, the new issue, they have stuff on modeling. They have some cool terrain stuff. There's zero Lord of the Rings, which makes me excited.
Hey, that's a good thing.
Yeah. And also, I just found out that their new subscription system is different now.
Oh, what's
that? Have you heard about this?
No. So I don't really pay attention to White Dwarf anymore, even though the magazine does look very improved. I used to pick up White Dwarfs just for painting stuff.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
School, but I don't use any of the Games Workshop paints anymore.
Yeah.
So having like this paint scheme, like, oh, this looks pretty cool, but it's using 5 Games Workshop colors that I don't own, will not purchase, whatever. Yeah.
And I'm the exact opposite, but I have all the Games Workshop paints. I love the new paint system, but I only use an airbrush. Right, Steve?
It's true.
JK, JK, LOL, LOL, airbrush, airbrush, airbrush.
I didn't say JK anywhere in there.
No, you didn't? Oh, okay. I'm just checking.
I just said blah, 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 airbrush, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And mine was chaos sucks, lol, GW sucks, lol.
It's pretty much if you can describe the podcast in one go.
Yep.
But the I really like the magazine. I think it's cool. But the new subscription is $80, right?
Is that less or more expensive?
Less expensive, because I believe, I'm not 100% sure, but it gives you 16 magazines for $80.
Yeah, I seem to remember there being like 100 before.
And get this, you don't get every issue. So let's say they put an issue that's very Lord of the Rings heavy. You don't have to get that issue. You could save that subscription for another magazine. So you could have it span.
Do they like send you an email before each issue and they're like, do you want this?
No, you go pick it up at the store. It's an in-store subscription thing.
Okay.
So what you do is you go to the, like, say you frequent the bunker.
You can look at it and go like, I don't want this one, and walk away?
Yeah. And wow. You could, and it doesn't expire till 2014, so you have till 2014 to get 16 issues at half cover price.
That's pretty ballsy. I like that.
No one must have been buying the magazine.
Yeah, it must have just been in the toilet.
Yeah, and so they stuck to it and anything.
Revamp it and get people to actually, buy something.
So as long as we are on the Games Workshop train.
Choo-choo. We're going to talk about the chaos.
We got to talk about chaos.
The retard of the chaos.
We're not going to talk about the rules because the rules aren't out yet. There's some rules that are floating out there, some scans that have made it into the interwebs. But I don't want to talk about that too much. Let's talk about the models because I know you are very opinionated on some of them.
Yes. I really like the Raptors.
Yes.
I think the Raptors look great.
Yes.
I haven't seen the rules because I don't play chaos, but I haven't seen the rules, but I'm sure they'll be miserable because they're jump troops, and jump troops are all bad.
Why are jump troops bad now?
They've always been bad. They're just never good. You see a couple people take them here and there, but they're never – you're almost always better just taking the dude on foot. They have something that really like puts them over the top.
Well, they got this special rule here according to the scan that says – they win automatically.
Oh, then you should probably take. You should probably take at least 2 units. You want to double win automatically. So, but the Raptors look very, very cool. They're plastic, which I was like, yay, thumbs up. I could give 2 shits about all the new characters because they're all fine cast, except for I think there's one that's a plastic kit, isn't it?
They're all plastic.
What?
They're all the clan pack plastic. I'm not 100% sure on that. But if you look at the beginning, they all are in the same blister pack.
The clamshell plastic?
Yeah, they're all
really.
The chaos stuff is the first 40K stuff that's going to be clamshell plastic.
Nice, because I've been saying they should do that for a long time. A, because it gets away from fine cast, which is miserable.
I'm sure some of the model, I think the Forge Father is Fine Chaos. Because he's in a box. So I'm definitely...
Fair enough. All right. Well, any of the Chaos character models all look good. They all look cool.
They just look like Chaos.
Yeah, they're like Chaos dudes.
They're very much in the new style.
Yeah, the Chaos dudes. I could have sworn the Warpsmith was...
Oh, the Warpsmith, that's what it is. Not the Forge Father. What am I saying?
Okay, so he's Fine Chaos.
He's Fine Chaos.
And looking at all of the spindly bits and like things hanging off this guy, that seems like a nightmare.
Well, I mean, why would you I don't know. I don't even like the model. I think the model looks kind of like... He's like a tech marine.
It's clearly what he is.
Yeah.
He's clearly a corrupt tech marine, but he's very, very busy. He's busy for a Chaos model.
it's like Korn's looking and he's like, oh, dude, whoa, hey, back down there, dude. We don't need that too much.
Aspiring champion, if that guy's plastic, that's pretty sweet. Oh, he looks like he might be. Yeah, he has to be because there's a bunch of variants of him.
The Mutilators are fine cast, though. Those close combat.
They look like shit.
They look like Catherine Hellman in Brazil. You know, when she's getting her face.
Yeah, she's getting her face stretched.
Yeah. Brazil.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, I mean.
We should talk more about Terry's films.
But I mean, it's like, you think about it with them, is like, their rules have to be so good because right now, close combat's not even key in the game, right?
I mean, it's good. If you can get there, you can do some damage.
Yeah.
They look so bad. They're awful. Like, I hated the old Obliterator models, and these are just a spin-off of the old Obliterator models.
Why didn't they make those plastic?
I don't know.
So
I mean,
switch it out with the arms, have close combat arms and shooty arms.
Most people just do Terminators. They just take Terminators and bulk them out with some green stuff and random extra weapon bits.
Green stuff.
There's super stretchy skin in them. Green stuff's great for that.
When I hear someone say, like, oh, just bulk it out with some green stuff, I just imagine the little kid with the ball.
You mean by bulk it out with green stuff, he has a ball of green stuff that he pushes parts into?
Yes.
That's not bulking out with green stuff.
That's not even a little kid. This is the guys who are like, look at my homemade obliterators. It's just like a big hunk of green stuff. But anyway, they got the Forge Fiend and the other one?
The Mauler Fiend and the Forge Fiend. Yeah.
I like them.
I think they look extremely stupid.
I think they're cool. My problem is that I need to see the rules first because they're very expensive.
They're vehicles.
$60.
They're $66.
$64, yeah.
They're $66. They are a vehicle, not a monstrous creature, which means they're bad.
They're bad.
Unless they have some sort of special rules where they don't use the...
They have a special rule called not bad.
Yeah, they probably do because they're new, so they'll have a special rule where they don't suck. Yeah. But I think they look like the stupidest things ever.
I like them a lot. I think they're really cool, and I think some justice... I like them.
The Forge Fiend is passable. Only because it doesn't have the stupid rhino face.
Oh, I like the rhino face.
And the thing is, why does it look like a monster if it's going to be a vehicle?
I didn't really understand that
myself. It's clearly got a face and teeth, and like it's not metallic looking in any way. Unless
the butt opens up.
Or if one is the other. Like the Forge Fiend is a vehicle and the Mauler Fiend is a monstrous creature. That would work.
And their butt opens up. And
they
guys come
they
out.
They still don't look very good.
So the guy could be like, have you seen my Forge Fiend?
You could convert that.
You could convert it
You
up.
Hollow it out, and it's like, oh look at this.
You put little lights in it.
Nice.
Opens up.
Give it a spinning antenna somewhere.
And I'd still lose Golden Demon.
Obviously. Wouldn't even make first cut. So I do not like them.
You know what I want to do? I want to make my Golden Demon entry next year will be Damocles. And it will be him holding a Damocles.
Oh, man. That would be amazing. You just use an epic Damocles?
Epic Damocles.
Nice.
It'll be a space marine holding a Damocles.
You'll have to do a 72mm space marine to get the right scale.
Yeah, I would. And then maybe I could get the...
I'm sure you can buy some old Inquisitor thing that's festering somewhere.
No, those things are going for a decent bit.
What?
I know. Don't ask me. But I'll do it, and he'll be holding it, and it'll be open up, the back will open up, and I was like, have you seen my Damocles?
Nice. Actually, if you could get some, if you could put a little speaker in there and push a button, it just says, have you seen my Damocles?
Yeah. And then we come to the 600,000-pound elephant in the room, the Helldrake.
It's $77.
$77.
Which is fucking nuts. It's $27 more expensive than any of the other flyers, which are already pretty expensive.
It's massive, though.
It's also the stupidest looking model in the history of the world.
Okay. Now, normally, I always have to play devil's advocate to Steve because Steve always is the one who takes the shovel, digs a hole, sits in it, and goes, this is my position, and I'm not moving. So
I'm also pulling the dirt into the hole as well. So
cover yourself up.
Yeah.
So I sometimes feel like I have to defend things that I don't normally like just so I can keep the conversation going on the podcast. It's stupid. We're done. We're not talking about it anymore.
It's done. Let's move on to the next topic. Stupid. Next topic.
So the Helldrake, I agree with you. I am not a huge fan of it. My big problem with it is I hate how busy that fucking model
There's so much gilding on it. Why?
I don't know. And this is, and I was talking with someone at the bunker the other day, and I'm like, this model could be so cool if it didn't have all that crazy gilding. Like, you got to think of the Bane Blades or the Storm Swords.
Or the Helltalon, where it's just got one thing around the outside. Yeah. And that's the other thing I was looking at. Like, what's wrong with the Helltalon?
I love the Helltalon. I have two of them.
Why wouldn't you just make a plastic Helltalon for them? No, you got to make a dragon. Rawr. It's a Power Rangers. It's a Power Rangers toy. I fully expect this to be on many Power Rangers fans' Christmas lists. The little kids, because they're on like Power Rangers Zeo Force X3 Jungle Squad now.
Ooh, Jungle Squad. I was like, the coolest thing about like tanks, like when you put together a tank, like tank modeling, is that you, how you deal with the flat surfaces, how you can make it look really cool.
You put decals on it.
You put decals. You put the weathering powders, all that fun stuff that you learn how to hobby. This thing leaves you zero room to do anything creative.
Nope, you've got
to
paint its gilding, and you have missed you. I think you could probably cheat it by not painting its gilding a separate color than the wing.
No, because you can't. It's not flat. You can't do anything fun with it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, the only way that I could possibly passively see that is if like you cut out all that interior gilding. And you just left it a flat surface.
Or filled it.
Yeah, you could fill it too, but then of course
it would be a long job.
Just be like a lot of green stuff, and it'd make the model weigh 60 tons. A
lot of Milliput.
Milliput. Yeah, I just don't get it, and I think it's like, why don't
I think the key is to make it Marked of Nurgle and just use plastic glue to ruin the shit out of all the detail and then add some, like, boobos.
That's your answer to everything with cash. Just make it Marked of Nurgle.
Well, it's a bad model, sure. You can just fix it by ruining it.
Yeah.
Just be like, it's all melty and there's holes in it. There's actual holes in the model, and just, like, everyone will be like, that's such a sweet conversion, bro. And you're like, yeah, I worked really hard on it. Not really.
Yeah. Well, I think, what else is new? Is that it? Or is it?
I hate it. I think a lot of players will be able to do some sweet conversions not using this model in any way.
Well, I mean, like, the wings itself are nearly identical to the Helltalon.
No.
What I'm saying is if you, it's a similar shape. So if you reposition them off,
yeah.
Yeah. You could do some pretty sweet stuff
the
with
it. The key is to actually just use the little Space Marine vehicle, the little Space Marine flyer, and put chaos symbols on it. And be like, counts as...
Oh, you can't do counts as anymore?
Well, there's nothing in the rule book says you can't.
It's the most important rule.
No, the most important rule is the D6 off.
Yes. But is that it? Is that the... did we cover most of the models?
Then there's the characters. Which we briefly discussed, which are... Yeah. Although the warp talons are new, which might be interesting. Those are the...
Are those the jump troops?
Well, no, because they're raptors are jump troops. But there's a second kit inside.
Oh, okay.
They're called the warp talons, which are look like they have lightning claws. And that would be interesting. Although lightning claws on jump troops, they have to be extra fast to be worth that.
Extra fast. Yeah. So anyway, we covered most of that stuff. I mean, most of the care. It's a very Games Workshop release. It's a very happy Games Workshop release.
They still managed to stick a fucking old ass looking sorcerer in.
I love that
thing.
Sorcerer.
He looks like he's a 5th edition model.
He does.
And by 5th edition, I mean 5th edition fantasy.
I love it. That's exactly what I love it. I was looking at. I was like,
static sculpt looks like it was sculpted 10 years ago, and they're gonna charge you 2012 prices.
I love that, and I also like the Dark Apostle too. He's pretty cool.
He actually does look pretty cool.
Well. And considering I'm putting together a Word Bearer's army, it's like I have to have him in my army because I'm going to have wave after wave after wave of 4-point cultists.
Yes, obviously.
Yes. So, I mean, that about covers it. I think we could do a little bit more when the rules come out because, of course, I'm going to buy the rules because I'm going to be playing the Chaosy guys. Yeah, my first foray into 40K. Yeah, those are some of the rules.
They stuck some of the rules in there. They're very tiny.
Yeah. hey. Lean back there. You're not Mr. Mike. We're on Mike's today for the first time.
You're a Mike.
But there's a... Slanesh gets...
Mike's again for the first time?
Slanesh gets feel no pain this time.
Okay.
That's part of the rules now.
So what does the Nurgles gets?
I don't know. But there is a...
Lame. Oh, they did fine cast all the special characters. That I know. And that's awful.
There's a...
Lucius's whip. Ha. I remember when you were a metal bit and you didn't break that often.
There's a new... There's a new special rule that basically gives them a bonus against Space Marines. And I said, oh, that's really cool because, you know...
Everyone plays Space Marines, so you'll have that bonus constantly.
But then I stopped for a second and I went, wait, does that include Grey Knights? Now, in the spirit of the game, That would include Grey Knights.
Because Grey Knights are Space Marines.
Because Grey Knights are Space Marines. However,
I believe they even say... Oh, no, because they don't say Grey Knights Space Marines anymore.
Yeah.
It just says Grey Knights.
So, like, you could have a person who is just like, well, a Grey Knight isn't a Space Marine. And then you punch them in the face as hard as you possibly can.
Oh, Games Workshop.
And shit down their throats.
Rules second. Always. Actually, let's say rules, like, fourth.
Well, yeah. After the buying the models... buying all the accessories, buying terrain, maybe fifth, because then you got Lord of the Rings. I'm actually kind of looking forward to seeing some of the models that are going to be coming out soon for the Hobbit. Not that I'm going to buy them or anything. I just kind of want to look at them.
I just want to see them.
I just want to see them.
The worst.
Is that so wrong? Is that wrong?
I think it is, because they could be not making Lord of the Rings models.
Okay. And to just, you know,
this toolbox,
that Jeremy Vitak in the model. Yeah, I was like, what the hell?
It's a giant
picture. There's also a really cool John Blanche article in here, and I know you love the John Blanche.
Blanche too.
I'm not a big fan of the John Blanche.
John Blanche is pretty sweet.
So as long as we're on the Games Workshop, let's go. Let's just push it forward one time. I wanted to get your opinion on the Horus Heresy books that's coming out. I'm sure you've seen some of the stuff.
The Forge World stuff?
The Forge World stuff.
The Space Marine jet bikes look like big dicks. That's the first. I was like, those are cocks.
Flying penis squad, go!
I really like the Terminators.
The Terminators?
The Terminators
look,
they
look cool.
Very cool, but that's about it. The other stuff, I'm kind of like, yeah, Horus Heresy. That was, we did that in Team Pre-Horusy in like 2002.
I know. You can get your anger on now.
I got no anger. I don't care.
No, anger on.
Oh, Angron. He's stupid.
You don't like that model? I'm not a big fan of the model either, but I
think his pose is dumb, and I think the sculpt is okay, but why is he not huge? Like, the Primarchs were gigantic.
Oh, no, that's a big model. Big model.
I couldn't tell the scale.
I had my great nerd moment when I looked at that model, because it was like, he was obviously running through a field, like he was hacking down
dudes.
World Eaters. And I was just like, why is Angron killing his own men?
Because he totally did.
Because he's Angron.
No, because, well, I mean, he could be killing traitor ones, or, because, you know, because he's furious, or he could be killing the ones that are still stayed loyal to the Emperor.
Why would you even have to put that? He should have been killing Ultramarines, hands down. Everyone should be killing Ultramarines.
I mean, you could.
Ultra!
You could just paint them like Ultramarines. And be like, how do they have this World Eaters iconography? clearly, because Rabut Guliman is their spiritual liege, and they have to talk to Marnius Kulgar about that.
Who's the spiritual leader of all of the Space Marines?
Rabut Guliman.
Oh, is he?
Rabut Guliman is their spiritual liege.
Oh, liege.
Okay. It's their liege.
All right. I just wanted to get that out of the way because I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, I'm really digging that.
Then on the other end, it's Forge World. So I was like...
Not that Forge World's any more expensive than a normal GW army.
Not anymore.
No. Not with the upcoming... All right. So, done with GW. Close the magazine. We're done.
Yay.
Yay.
I don't have to look at it anymore.
All right. So...
It burns us.
News coming out of Kickstarter, since we always tend to talk about our Kickstarter corner. Did you see the article that came up this week? Kickstarter is not a store.
Oh, yeah. That is pretty explicitly explained when you donate to Kickstarter.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that what they put out was more aimed towards retailers, like the people who put stuff on Kickstarter, not necessarily the people buying. Because as we've been talking about, Reaper put up their thing on Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. And what was the other company? Mongoose just put their Judge Dredd thing on there.
Very cool looking. Judge Dredd.
Yeah. Not that either of us are ever going to buy the models.
No, but they look cool.
Yeah. You know what we should do? Buy all the Judge Dredd models. Arbites Army.
That would be pretty sick.
Show up to a tournament with your Judge Dredd Arbites Army.
That would be pretty sick. I like Judge Dredd a lot, but...
You said you liked the movie a lot.
The movie was fantastic.
Did he say, I am the law?
He did, but he didn't say it in a retarded Sylvester Stallone way. He also didn't go, it's a lie!
It's a lie! Armand DeSante set me up.
The law!
Rob Schneider in it?
It was basically everything that the original was not.
That's cool.
It was awesome.
It was like when I saw the Total Recall remake, and not once throughout the entire movie did he say, get your ass to Mars.
Really?
And I was so upset.
Well, they didn't go to Mars in the book.
They didn't go to Mars in the movie, in the new remake either.
Yeah, because it follows the book.
Which just made me upset, though, because I'm just like, oh, I want him to get his ass to Mars.
Well, that's what you get for watching a movie with Colin Farrell.
That's true. Actually, I like Colin Farrell. In Bruges was a good movie.
I've never seen In Bruges.
Well, you'd actually really like it. I would put money on the fact that you'd probably really like it.
I just watched Bronson.
Bronson, that's a good movie, too.
The movie was sweet.
It's not a movie I'd watch multiple times. I'd watch it once.
I would watch it multiple times only for as a masturbatory aid.
When Caliban burns, then I give you permission to die.
Caliban?
I don't know. I was thinking Dark Angels.
Mm.
Yeah, but the Kickstarter is not as, it's interesting to me because I think that might curtail a lot of the larger companies. You don't think so?
Not a chance. People who use Kickstarter, the consumer, they need to understand that if you give $500 to this Kickstarter and they're making books and something falls through and they are not able to make those books, but they still reach their Kickstarter goal, your money is gone.
Yeah.
Your money is a donation to Kickstarter. So if for some reason something like the guy dies or something unforeseen happens, like the Oya is likely never going to see the light of day.
I said that from the day one.
And all those people are going to try and get their money back, and they're going to be blown out when they read the Kickstarter terms of service that they've never read.
Yeah.
It's simple. It's a donation. It should be named that.
Because that's the sound of their dicks ramming down your throat. You know, and I don't get that, why everyone was so excited about that. I'm like, this is a terrible idea. This is like major hardware like that should never be crowdfunded. It just won't work.
I mean, if it comes out and it works, that's great, but I don't think it ever will.
Yeah.
But this is the thing people need to understand. You know, I've donated to several Kickstarters. I think Kickstarter's awesome. And
well, that's the thing. It's like on Kickstarter, board games, mini games, role-playing games are kicking ass all over the place.
Yeah, they're huge. And a lot of the things, too, is you've got I think there's a huge mass of people who don't live near a game store.
Yeah, that's true.
But they play games.
Yeah. And I want to get into that, but finish your thought.
Well, they don't play games. So this gives them the opportunity to go, oh, I really like that game. Like let's say there's a small town and there's like three dudes who like war games and they've been buying Mantic games online because that's the game they found. It's a good price. And they're like, oh, I'm going to play Mantic. This looks really cool. And they're only playing with the three of them. And then they see Mantic Games' Kickstarter for Kings of War, or they're guys who were fans of Blood Bowl and they see Mantic Games' Kickstarter for Dreadball.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, that looks fucking sweet. I'm going to get that. And they don't have a game store to go to.
I'm going
to
get that.
So, yeah, I'm going to get it. So they go straight to... And of course, you get the basement dwellers. Like, that's Reaper. Reaper was like,
Reaper's all about the basement dwellers.
There were so many basement dwellers, like wiping the sleep from their eyes, like, they can't touch the sun; they'll burst into flames. a lot of them buying those D&D minis. The dudes, because I can tell you, I know for a fact that one of my old GMs, he lives in some pit somewhere with his like with his wife girlfriend thing, and they're both in that pit. And while they're in that pit, they don't go anywhere. And then people come into there to play games, and they're just like,
welcome to our game.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
Did you bring the Funyuns?
Funyuns for the Funyun God. Mountain Dew for his throne.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and those, then they're really, because they don't go anywhere, but they probably bought on that Reaper Kickstarter because they can get it shipped to their house.
Well, yeah, because you can get it like super cheap, too.
Super cheap, sent to your house.
Yeah.
You know, that works well.
Yeah, and that's, I think like the idea of the board games and the mini games are perfectly designed for Kickstarter because it allows, and we said this on the podcast before, it allows people who normally wouldn't
get a product,
see the game.
Yeah, or see the game.
See the game to see it, go, hey, I like this idea, I like this concept. They could put it all out there. It's like a sales pitch.
That, and you get the, you get a massive amount of extra salesmen for free.
Yeah,
I sold Kings of War to at least six people on their Kickstarter. Yeah. Me personally, I was like, hey, dude, Kings of War, get it. And they're like, oh, well, yes, that looks great. What a deal. I'm going to get that.
What a deal.
You know, so that's six people who normally would not have donated to that Kickstarter who donated because I got them. And that's something I'm sure all of them have. You know, I'm a huge Judge Dredd fan, not big in the miniatures games, but... Say I wasn't, I didn't, and I don't look at Kickstarter because I'm not a big gamer. You could be like, hey, dude, there's this like Judge Dredd miniatures thing coming out. I'd be like, really? And I could look at it and get something awesome.
Well, that's pretty cool.
I mean, it's a great value, too. I think Kickstarter is great. I think people are still, they're not going to, I think it's a little of a knee-jerk reaction because I'm sure there's a Kickstarter that's like not going to go through at some point. It might be.
Or the stupid iPad watch.
It might be. And it's going to be, they want to lay the groundworks for when people are coming at them with their butt hurt.
Yeah.
And they're going to be like, well,
well,
let me tell you, you donated. Why?
I don't know why you put in a whole heavy gear Kickstarter.
Heavy Gear. That one would never get the funding unless they put.
Yes, it would. Oh, people, you know, like
they could start the funding at like $200 and just be like,
yes, excellent.
And I mean, it's not something that we're like they can be like, oh, we're not going to make it anymore. Yeah. It has to be something where this falls through. They declare bankruptcy.
Yeah, they have to. Well, and there's also they put a whole thing through the article I was reading through it that people who are putting shit on Kickstarter now have to have a business plan how they're going to do this.
Yeah, so, you have to do a little like interview thing to go on Kickstarter.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be more now. I mean, it's going to be a lot more transparent now.
Yeah, because I mean, I want to do a Kickstarter. I want to get my game rolling, and I want to put it on Kickstarter.
Game rolling.
I mean, I'm doing lots of I'm spitballing lots of ideas. I want to do testing. I want to make a prototype because that's how my
I would like to see more mini games on there because or just games in general because. I see a lot of people like, I'm sculpting sexy women, and I want you to give me money so I can sculpt more sexy women.
The figures do look cool, though.
I haven't seen any figures. They're just sketches.
Oh, no, there's a few figures
up
now. There's
like two figures.
Well, there's most of them are sketches.
I'm upset by that.
Yeah, you're
like,
always upset by that.
I don't like, I'm butthurt by that. I don't want to see drawings of sexy women. If I wanted to see drawings of sexy women, I'd go to DeviantArt and looked up really creepy Devil May Cry anime, like, fan art.
Ugh, DeviantArt. The worst. I'm sorry if you're actually a good artist on DeviantArt. I'm not trying to offend you. There's so many bad ones.
I'm a big fan of DeviantArt. There's a lot of stuff. One of my favorite artists, I shouldn't say artist, but he's a game artist. He does a lot of the game art for Fantasy Flight. Like he does like he designs art on the boards. He posts up a lot of his stuff and preview stuff on DeviantArt.
That's cool.
It's really neat.
Yeah, I mean there's definitely a few like legit artists on DeviantArt, but they're very few and far between.
J. Scott Campbell's on DeviantArt all the time.
Who?
J. Scott Campbell, the preeminent 90s booby artist for Image Comics. He did Gen 13.
I don't know who that is.
You don't know who J. Scott Campbell is? Oh, comic book nerd.
Whatever. You love Rob Liefeld.
I do love Rob Liefeld.
That's the worst.
But I like him because of the camp value of Rob Liefeld. I like
because he's such a chachi,
he's
bro.
He's so terrible on everything he does.
Oh.
Why are the calves so big?
The Captain America one is probably the most offensive thing I've ever seen. It's like, oh my God.
I like being able to like defend.
He should get a job for GW because his proportions would be perfect for Space Marines.
Yeah, exactly.
The Space Marines actually look like that.
Yeah. But that's
fucking miserable. Liefeld.
What?
You know what? The dream collaboration could be drawn by Liefeld, written by Bendis. You and Alan Moore be jerking each other off over the collector's editions.
Alan Moore and Rob Liefeld worked together on, I think it was Supreme back in the early 2000s. Ugh. Alan Moore.
He can't save Liefeld.
Hero Watchmen babies.
I'm just going to keep calling him Liefeld because that's the way I think his name should be pronounced.
You know what? I don't even know how it's pronounced. I just go Liefeld. Just because it probably is Liefeld or something like
Liefeld.
That. Liefeld. He got sued by the other Image guys. Yes, he did.
He's so bad.
Yes, he is. And one other thing I wanted to talk about was since there's not a shit ton of gaming news, at least you'll probably
know
more.
The largest magic set ever.
I was going to wait till a little bit later for that.
Okay.
Because I wanted to fill the center with like nothingness and so that the better stuff's on the outside.
Ah, I see.
So it's like an Oreo cookie of shit.
Wait. So no, it's a reverse Oreo cookie. You have the cookie crumble in the middle, and you have the disgusting like white goo on the top and bottom.
What are you talking about? There's magic white goo.
The magic would be white goo.
Oh, okay. I thought the magic would be good. Magic's a big story, though.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
That's why good stuff's on the bottom and good stuff's on the top, which is the white goo, and then the cookie crumble is in the center.
Yeah.
Which is I mean, Oreos are disgusting.
Well, I wanted to talk about, and this is going back to something that we haven't talked about on the podcast in a long time, and which is Warhammer Fantasy, and we haven't talked about it in a long time, and that's just because. Where Fantasy has – there's nothing been for Fantasy in months. Months and months and months and months.
Yeah, the last thing out for them was
– well, the Demon stuff, but that doesn't even really count.
No, the last actual army release for them was
– Empire.
Empire, yeah.
In May or
– that was a while back.
Yeah. But I wanted to talk about – I had a conversation with someone, and I want to talk about the meta game with Fantasy. And I was thinking
– Ogres?
I wanted to get your idea on – do you think that the meta game of the gigantic block troops – could be changed in future incarnations when a different army books comes out and they could negate the gigantic blocks. Do you think that could happen?
Do
you think GW would stay away from that, would stray away from that?
I think they would stray away from it strictly from a sales perspective.
So, yeah.
They want to keep selling bigger blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you're going to sell bigger blocks is by keeping them good, keeping them the best. And they're not even...
But the only way you could sell new armies is if you make that army the best army, and the best way to make an army right now is to have big killers.
Ogres don't have the big blocks, and they're top tier.
Yeah, I thought ogres were only top tier because of the alliance issues.
Ogres are top tier. They're becoming more top tier. They're the best of the new books.
Yeah.
And now that there's more new book armies, until an army comes out, that's the thing. You gotta remember, like, some of the best armies in the game right now are from their old books.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
So, out of the new books, ogres is by far the best.
Yeah.
By not close. The best army in the game is still demons.
Yeah.
But ogres are the best of the new books. So every time there's a new book, unless it's at the ogre power level or greater, it loses power level. Because ogres are the top. They're the top of the heap. And the more – once chaos.
Chaos is coming up next.
That's the next one. And there's a very good chance that they'll cock it up and chaos will be terrible.
I don't think that would happen.
It could be. I mean, that's
the – But I mean, that's the interesting thing about chaos is like –
Because chaos is amazing right now.
Chaos is not – a horde block. It's not very designed around a gigantic.
I feel there's gonna be a new marauders.
Probably marauders would be massive, but they're not gonna do new sculpts on those marauders.
I think. Hear me out. I think in order to sell more product, which is the number one goal.
Number one goal always with any company is to sell more product.
Sure, but they want to sell more product regardless of any other.
Yeah.
Effect. I mean, yes, all companies want to sell you their product.
Yeah.
But you can sell someone product by having good rules.
Yes.
You know, that could be one of the benefits of your game.
And this goes. Part this is the whole argument we're having here is
it's style over substance.
It's well, not even that, but I'm saying with the rule set, it's the GW model versus the Privateer Press model. GW
or other miniatures companies.
Well, yeah, Privateer Press is the second.
Yeah, they're number two.
Yeah, so it's a matter of like the game changes with every army book that comes out for GW.
Mm-hmm.
The game changes with every
expansion set
for Privateer Press.
But everybody gets something.
So it's two very different ways of doing business, and it's interesting to follow that along.
And I think it's making a lot. Privateer's been making big strides, and their strides are just getting bigger every time.
Would you say that those strides are colossal?
I would say that they're long striders.
What? That's not as cool as colossal.
Shut up. trying to steal my thunder.
Behemoth? Is that the new one for the hordes? Behemoth?
Behemoth has been around for... Oh, gargantuan.
Gargantuan, that's what it is.
I would say the strides are gargantuan. Yes.
That's what you should have said.
Yes, damn it.
Oh, maybe I'll edit it. So, no, I'm not going to edit it.
Damn it. It almost every time you've said you were going to edit something, you don't.
Never
it's awesome.
Oh, fuck it. I don't give a shit. We get like 200 people listening to this podcast. They don't really give a shit.
They don't care.
And they all go down to the bunker, so they just laugh every time we say, have you seen my Damocles?
Because they laugh every time we say that. I'm going to get a water.
Okay. But, the whole thing is GW's metagame going to change that drastically in 8th edition? Because right now, only about a fifth of all the army books for fantasy have been released under 8th edition.
Mm-hmm.
So what? It's like five army books, Vampire Counts, Tomb Kings, Ogres.
But I don't think the Giant... Empire. I mean, it's been a while since I've...
Five with...
It's been a while since I've played in a fantasy tournament, but Adepticon was the last one. But I don't see a lot of people taking multiple big blocks.
No, they only take one.
It's one.
Yeah.
I don't think... I mean, I don't really think it's that bad. I don't know. I mean, I think fantasy's ruined by the magic phase. That's definitely...
Your big problems with the magic phase.
That's definitely my, like, number one. Like, the magic phase ruins that game.
Yeah.
That game could be very fun without that magic phase.
Yeah.
Still ungodly expensive, but it would be more fun than with that magic phase.
Yeah. I think your problem with the magic phase is that you're just... I think it over time, given more army books and more things just blend out.
I hate the core mechanic. The basic mechanic of generating power into spell dice is broken in half. So what? The only way you could fix it is to release an army that negates those rules or has rules...
Dwarves.
No.
Dwarves don't use magic.
Yeah. You either negates those rules or...
But then you'd have to play dwarves.
I'd have to play dwarves. Which negates those rules or has magic so powerful it doesn't, you know, it doesn't care. It does its own thing.
Yeah.
And its magic is insane. But then you're not even using the basic rule system, which is what I have a big problem
with. Yeah. But yeah. But
you know, like the Tomb Kings being on casting, like every other army, is the worst change ever. so bad. The one of the things that made that army special, that army is the worst army in the game. It was the worst army in the game. It's always been the worst army in the game, but it had one thing that made it special, and it was that cool magic phase where you're like, my spells are going off, and there's nothing you can do about it. You ran out of spell dice? Here come the spells, baby.
Casket of Souls!
Yeah, and that was so cool, and that was the best thing, like, about that army. And when you could assassinate their mages, like, I used to play games, and I would hunt their mages with Tomb Scorpions, just be like, get them! And then as each mage fell, my magic phase got that much stronger, and I'm like, yes! And you could feel, the avalanche coming, and then once their last mage goes down, your magic phase is insane. You're moving guys, you're bringing guys back, you're zapping skirmishers with magic missiles, and there's nothing they can do about it. Super sweet. And then he took it away. And they're like, nope, their spells are all worse. All of their spells are now worse.
I like how
and their regular magic
spells. That's the most rosiest interpretation of the Tomb Kings army I've ever seen anyone ever talk about. Most people, when they say Tomb Kings, they just all I just hear is them like knocking models off the table. you just hear Tomb Kings.
I used to win with them in 6th edition.
Yeah.
Because I built a ball-crunchingly brutal army. I built the hardest possible army I could build.
6th edition? That's 2 editions ago.
Still, I mean,
loser.
They sucked ass in 7th.
Yeah.
Once they went from possible to win with but very difficult to impossible to win with, stop playing.
Yeah. And I also think, and I was discussing this, and I was talking about the whole rule set of the army book release schedule versus the expansion release schedule. I think part of the problem, too, is that Fantasy, there's 15 armies. Yeah,
there's a lot of fucking armies.
As opposed to 6 that you have for, I was going to say Lord of the Rings, for War Machine.
War Machine's got a lot of armies too, actually.
War Machine's only got 6.
More than 6.
Not if you include Hordes.
Well, yeah, I'm including Hordes because it's the same game, and they share a release schedule.
Yeah, but Hordes for, let's say, Colossals, that's one book. They're releasing Gargantuans, which is another book altogether. But
it's split evenly.
Like, for every...
Well, technically, there's an additional force in War Machine. Because you've got Signar, Kador, Menoth, Krix, Syrah.
Oh,
And then you have Mercenaries.
So 6, yeah.
You have Mercenaries of 6. Yeah, I'm not saying you were wrong. And then Hordes, you've got Trollbloods, Scorn, Legion, Circle Ouroboros, and Minions.
Yeah.
So grand total, 11 total forces.
Yeah.
So it's pretty close. You know,
yeah, but
I mean, give or take a few things, but it's still, if they released it workshop style, it would be the exact same thing.
That's what it would be like. If workshop did it, they would have to have 3 books, one for, you know, this chunk of armies, second one for this chunk of armies, third one for this chunk of armies.
Yes.
Which could be cool.
They could do it. It'd be very easy. You just have the forces of, they always, every time there's a workshop video game, they're always like the forces of order versus the forces of disorder. And then there's like the neutral guys. The neutral guys are always orcs. Well, orcs are generally lumped in with the forces of disorder. Yeah. So I guess I'll take that one away. The neutral guys at this point would be ogres, tomb kings, possibly wood elves.
Lizard men.
Lizard men are generally good because they're basically, will you work with chaos? Yes.
Will you work with chaos?
If the answer is yes, you probably go into the forces of disorder.
I kind of like having the microphones because I could just like lean in and go,
Democles. You can add some more bassitone.
I'm interested to hear how this is going to sound when I put it together. Is it going to sound different than our normal podcast or not?
No.
But yeah, I'm interested to see because I'm kind of like, I'm in one of those very like introspective moments when it comes to gaming because I'm like, oh, this is very... Because I think it came about because they talked about Diablo 3 with how it's kind of changed the landscape of online currency.
Because of the auction house?
Because
of
the auction house.
Diablo 3 is miserable.
Yeah, Diablo 3 is miserable, but it has changed. Like, the way that it did it changed the way it is. So I'm looking at, like, kind of like how game mechanics and stuff like that are changing the way that things are done.
Yeah, I think basically Workshop has got the draconian... They're all of their principles are completely draconian, they will fall.
Normally, I would agree with you. Normally, I would say yes. However, one glint of hope, that White Dwarf that came out this month, if they can make that drastic of a change, and this is a company that where changes, when I say changes glacial, that's like Speedy Gonzales.
They actually change so slowly they start going back in time,
yes.
Which looks like this White Dwarf.
Yeah, exactly. And
back
I saw
in
that
time. I'm dun dun dun
dun dun dun
dun dun dun dun. Huey Lewis in the news.
Yeah, but the like I saw the White Dwarf and I'm just like, holy shit! something. This is something that should never have happened.
How many dollars?
It's $10, which is the same cost as the previous.
$9 previously. But a dollar increase for
it's a pretty big magazine.
And certainly improved content, that seems okay.
Yeah, it's bizarre. So I'm like, holy shit, things will change. And you know what? I do like the new hardcover Army books. I think they're nice. I think it takes away it was a shift from, oh, I'm going to buy all the Army books because of $20 a piece.
The thing that sucks about the Army books being hardcover, aside from the price, the fact that there's no softcover option, is bringing a hardcover book to a tournament sucks.
Yeah,
you have to you're breaking the spine. You're like, and if somebody does the classic soda spill on it, you're now spilling on a $50 book.
Yeah,
and your $50 book is fucking ruined.
Yeah, that's when you get to ball punching.
Oh, so bad.
Ball punch.
You know why isn't there? I guess there's the PDF versions you could buy for more than the $50 price.
Whiz bangs.
so bad.
Chaos.
The worst. I'm sure it'll be able to, like, I'm sure if you, like, push the corn section, it goes like, blood for the blood god. You're like, oh, how neat.
Actually, all of the model section, the models in the model section of that book, you press it, and there's 3D rotation.
Ooh. Fancy pants.
Yes. Yeah, eventually it'll get to the point where you'll get PDFs and stuff like that. And
shit's the worst. Yeah, I think with their draconian policies, and yes, I'll agree, this is a good thing for them. Not as massive as I'd like to see, but it's nice.
Yeah.
I think with this, they're just this draconian monster, and they're eventually going to go down.
I don't believe so. I think right now they are like the banks, the U.S. banks. They're too big to fail.
They're too big to fail.
Like, there has to be something that...
I disagree with that based on the amount of people who play miniatures games that aren't Games Workshop. Now, they're not all galvanized, and they're like, we are all going to go play this game instead of Games Workshop. They're all going to different games. But every person that leaves Games Workshop and goes to play Infinity, Malifaux, Privateer Press Games, Kings of War, Mantic Games, Mercs.
You cut off one head, however, 10 little children will rise from that head.
Every one of those people who leaves Workshop to go play one of those games is taking money and market share away from Workshop.
Yeah.
I think the future is many miniatures games.
Out of one many?
I mean, that's the thing, too. You know, the lifeblood of games is younger people.
Yes, little kids.
Not necessarily little kids.
With their parents' money.
I think Games Workshop's pretty evil for targeting very small children.
Yes.
Like, that's not cool. Because those kids are, they don't know any better. It's completely out of their age group. It's beyond their grasp. They can't understand how to play the game, even though it's the simplest miniatures game there is. They can't paint their models because they're too fucking small. They get their fingers stuck together with the glue because they're too fucking small for toys that.
They glue their models onto crabs.
There's a reason children's modeling for the longest time has had Snap-Tite.
Yeah.
You stick them together. That's how it works. You push these models together, and then you've got your car, and you paint your car. That's what I started on when I started doing modeling. So when I got my first Games Workshop.
Oh, by the way, Dark Vengeance, the worst models to put together in the world.
Yes!
I'll put that back. The Chaos Marines, terrible. Literally, two of the models I just put together have half the head on one piece and the bottom half of the head on a separate piece. So you put it together, I'm just like, these are not customizable at all. I was lied to.
I'd like my money back, please.
However, the cultists are really nice. The cultists are beautiful.
Are they one piece?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they're mostly two pieces.
Okay, but their gun hands and body. Okay. So I was saying, and children are too young.
Yeah.
So the lifeblood that you're looking for now is, I would say the youngest I would feel is acceptable would be a very, very, very mature, like, 10-year-old. And that's, they would need to be at, like, high end. So let's just say 12-year-old. 12-year-old's probably the youngest person that should be playing. And now this is not a strike at anyone. Maybe you have your kid playing with you. But that's different. You know, if you are playing it with your child and you are showing them the ropes, that's different than you dropping them off at the Games Workshop store and saying, have fun for 3 hours, Billy.
While I go shop. And masturbate to Magic Mike.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, Channing Tatum, you're so gorgeous. Oh no, it's stuck in there.
That was disgusting.
I'm going to kick your ass.
I'm ashamed of myself.
I'm going to kick your ass old style.
I'll kick your ass old style.
So say 12 years old.
Yeah.
Now, the average 12-year-old, if they're in a upper middle class area, will have an allowance. I have no idea what a reasonable allowance would be. So let's just say...
Yeah, well, neither of us really got allowances.
Let's just say I worked. I mowed lawns and got paid by the neighbors.
Yeah, I did too.
That's how I did it.
Lawn mowing, picking up dog poo, things like that.
You help around other people's houses and get $5 or whatever. And you're like, yes, and
$5. I would blow it on comic books. I would blow it on minis.
I blew it on magic cards.
Yeah.
So...
I blew it on Superman comics, so...
Seems good.
At least yours is probably still worth something if you still have the magic card.
Worth more.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The Superman comics from the 90s, not worth anything.
None of the comics from the 90s are worth shit, right?
Superman's electric blue, and this Superman's electric red.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
I actually have a superhero topic later, but...
We're running low on time, so let's finish this thought. 12-year-old, magic cards.
$50. Or let's say $50. $30 is his allowance. $30 a week. That kid is never buying anything. No. Ever.
Well, I mean,
what's he going to buy? $30 isn't even enough to buy a 10-man box.
I know. It gives it 35.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, it's...
You know, but that sure as shit is enough to go buy, like, a Malifaux dude. Yeah. I think it might even be enough to buy one of their little starter boxes.
I mean, that's enough to buy a Warjack.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think they're only $29.99.
Depending on where you go. But yeah, but Warjet, a lot of people are, privateers a lot looser on their discounting rules.
Yeah, they are.
So you can go into the store and be like, oh, I want this. I have $30. And the store will probably be like, because it's a little kid, it'll be like, all right, I hope you get into it. $30 is fine.
Yeah.
So that's it. I was just saying, they're too expensive. They're going in the wrong direction and they're very draconian. They won't change.
I'm thinking that we're going to see a change. I'm thinking that this is like a revolution. This is like the shot that rang out.
I think this is your last desperate grasp at something you used to love immensely.
I can't help it. I'm like those assholes who still love Star Wars.
Yep.
Like you. Love what? Your Jar Jar. You sleep with your little Jar Jar doll at night.
I have sex with that. I don't sleep with it.
that's
Misa Tinkin, you're gonna come. yes.
That's your jizz mom.
I finally was able to say come on the podcast. I was never able to sneak it in there, right?
Well, I think I say jerked off a lot on the podcast. But
yeah.
Anyway, so we got some time left. Let's talk about Magic. Get away from Games Workshop and talk about Magic.
Return to Ravnica. I fucking hate it because it's making my life a nightmare.
It's because it's like, you say it's like the best-selling Magic game of all time.
It is the most in-demand Magic set in the history of fucking ever. Everyone wants it. Everyone wants more of it than you can possibly imagine. It is, I'm not exaggerating, I could have sold, fuck, on my own, 20,000 booster boxes.
Really?
Which is like five times what I normally can sell.
And you can't sell it because you don't have enough product.
Don't have enough product. Because WotC has a stranglehold on it. And they're like, nope, this is what you're getting. And there are stores who, like, so many stores are not going to be able to fill their pre-sales. Unless they were intelligent and cut their pre-sales off, they're going to be like, well, I got, you know, 900 boxes, but I pre-sold 1,200. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I'm in trouble. The content is absurd. Everything is gas. Like, so many of the cards are just like, that card's insane. Like,
is gas good or bad? I'm not up on your lingo.
It's how you put what you put in your engine to make it go.
Yeah.
It's gas. It's good.
Now we're cooking with gas.
Yeah. Okay, exactly. So during the spoilers, I was just like, oh, that card's awesome. Or like, that card's insane. Next spoiler. That card's insane. Next spoiler. That card's fucking insane. Next spoiler. That card's insane. Next spoiler. Oh, that card is also insane. Next spoiler. Oh, that card is also insane. Every card is just nuts. There's so many cards that are just pre-selling for $10, $15. Normal sets, you'll have like your mythic flagship rares, maybe $20, $30, depending on what it is. And then like a few rares here and there for like $5, $6, maybe. And then one rare that's like a super standout rare, $25. This set like has a ton of super standout rares. So there's like $10, $15, $10, $15, $15, $15, $10, $15. All these mythics that are just like sideline mythics that may or may not be awesome, but look super good, $15. People are frothing at the mouth for it. The pre-release...
You keep saying words, and I don't know what they mean, but I'm smiling and going along with it.
The pre-release is nuts. Like, so many people are pre-registering. I have guys who are telling me their pre-releases are booked. They're booked. People have paid in advance because you know in advance how much product you're getting for the pre-release. So it's like, oh, I'm getting enough to support 100 players. So they pre-sell pre-release and it's like, I've got 100 sold. I cannot run any more pre-release. I'm done. I can't. And there's a bunch of people I talk to who are actually sold out of their pre-release already.
So what you're saying to our listeners are, you don't bother if you play Magic.
If you haven't, I mean, if they play Magic, they've got their cards already. I hope.
They're sitting on their big pile of Ravnica cards going, I've just bought money.
Well, let me, like, I can explain the demand to you really quickly, and this is something that you'll be able to understand not knowing anything about Magic. Magic booster boxes normally sell $90.
Yes.
Give or take. That's
which
the going.
Which is funny because, like, that's not very different than how much they cost back in the mid-90s.
Yeah, well, MSRP is $150.
Oh, MSRP.
MSRP is $150.
Okay.
But they sell for $90. That's what people buy them for. That's the online sell price. Sometimes you can get a good deal and get them less than $90. Let's just say bottom level $80.
Yeah.
This set, pretty much universally, standard going rate, $120.
Really?
Still under MSRP, but $30 to $40 higher than their normal price.
Well, that's pretty interesting then.
That's demand.
That is demand.
And then I had to explain a couple of my customers, which they had to explain to a couple of their customers, the supply and demand. You know,
concept. Did you have to bring the chart out with the line?
The supply, the demand, the price.
And they crossed together.
Animated a pop-up book. They were like, yay, pop-ups.
It's like you did it in PowerPoint, and then they clicked the button, and the two lines came together to form the point. Like, and this is the sale point. Yes. And then you're like, oh, and then make a little sound like, ding.
Boom, boom. Yeah, it's absurd. And then the other thing that's going to be even more insane is that the next set is just going to be the other half.
So it's just going to be as bad.
Yes.
And Wizards of the Coast is not going to up the printing levels.
Probably. Unlikely.
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 Which is smart, actually, because then they're...
They needed to... All right. I understand protecting the value of your product, yada, yada. They could have upped it by at least half. Like, over half. Like, 50% increase in product would have made everybody... Some people would still be very upset because I had dudes who wanted to, you know, people who normally buy one booster box of Magic are buying cases from people. Yeah. You know, that's the kind of level.
Do you think this is like a bubble? Do you think like this demand is like just pushing it on top of it?
Someone at work actually asked me that, and I talked to customers about it. It's basically the bubble can be infinite if they keep the power, because Magic rotates.
Yes.
If they keep the power level of the sets high, but not too high. And they don't have anything that drops too low, and they keep it in this sweet spot it's currently at, no way. It's going to go on forever.
Which is true, because the Magic is not, it's not universally pushing out, because once the set is done, it's done.
Yeah, you've got, right now, Magic, you're allowed to, in Standard, which is the most played format, you're allowed to use Scars of Mirrodin, Mirrodin Besieged, New Phyrexia, Magic 2012, Magic 2013, Innistrad, Dark Ascension, and Avacyn Restored. As soon as Return to Ravnica comes out, as soon as it drops, its release date, so next week Friday, in Standard tournaments, you are allowed to use Magic 2013, Innistrad, Dark Ascension, Avacyn Restored, and Return to Ravnica. So those other four sets, gone. They rotate. So if those sets had some real problem cards or was really powerful and starting to drive people away from the game, it's gone.
Doesn't matter anymore.
It's gone. And that's the thing, and they're walking this very delicate line, and they're also bringing masses of people in because of the Duels of the Planeswalkers Xbox Live game. That brought a huge number of people into the game, because like after you're done playing the game, which is very fun, very well done, I love it, and I haven't played an actual physical game of Magic in some time, but I think it's fantastic. That at the end is like, go to this store, go to a local store and bring them this code, and they'll give you a free card.
What?
Or booster pack.
What?
And they sent out all of these little demo decks for people for free to give to people who come in because they're asking about Duels of Planeswalkers. You're like, oh, here's this demo deck. Why don't you give it a shot? Because they already know how to play the game because they've been playing the video game, which uses the game's rules. So that made a huge, huge demand.
So Wizard of the Coast is actually doing something correct for once.
I would say Magic, they know how to handle, minus the printing problems. But they know how to handle the game.
Yes.
Now, it's the exact opposite of D&D.
D&D and Star Wars, they got in the cockpit of that Millennium Falcon and drove it right to Tatooine.
I think, it's funny because the Star Wars game right now, that the X-Wing game, huge.
Oh, X-Wing.
Huge. The demand for X-Wing is great. Everyone wants it. It's like super hot.
They've been running demos like crazy over at Game Plus.
Not necessarily just that. Oh, well, yeah, demos are good. But the Wizard stuff all focused, because I think they had to because of their licensing agreement, they focus on the prequels.
Yeah.
Do you know what's in the X-Wing miniatures game? Not a single fucking thing from the prequels.
There's not a Naboo fighter?
No Naboo fighter.
What about a droid starfighter?
No droidicas, no droid starfighters.
What about a droid Federation battlecruiser?
Oh, fucking space racism. Only money.
What we do not know is going on.
Look at all the fucks I give. Look at the mannequin.
Look at the mannequin. I did that today at work. I said, you see this? And my coworker was like, what? And I said, you see this? And she goes, I see nothing. I go, that's the number of fucks I give.
You saw that gif, right?
Yes.
Look at the mannequin. So good.
Oh, yeah, and that's true. Is like Wizards did focus strictly on the prequels.
I think they had to. I think that was part
of that was part of the licensing.
I think they were like, you need to push the prequels.
Yeah.
Because that's all.
And Fantasy Flight is all. We talked about this in the last podcast. Fantasy Flight is all original series.
Yep. They have not. There's not a fucking whisper of the.
There is. I saw in the Edge of the Empire and stuff like that. There's.
Well, that's stuff. RPG.
Yeah. Oh, that's the RPG.
Edge of the Empire.
Well, I know. Yeah, but I'm saying it's like. Oh, it's okay if it's in the RPG.
Yeah, because way less people play the RPG, yeah. And everyone who plays the RPG, most part wants to play Jedi's.
Yeah, I want to play a Jedi.
Yeah, so
it's like you're like okay, so I'm gonna make this whole thing. I'm not gonna allow anyone to be a Jedi's. Okay, guys, here's the rule. I'm not allowing any of you to be a Jedi's, and all the guys just take their sheets and go. Shh.
No, they just like I'm not playing.
All right, nice.
Yeah, throw their character sheets away.
I'm gonna play Gungan.
Oh.
Can I be a Gungan, Steve?
The superhero thing I wanted to bring up.
Oh, yeah?
The fighting game. Injustice. Fighting game. Gods Among Us.
Injustice.
No, it's not Japanese.
Oh, never mind that.
Why would a DC fighting game be Japanese?
Oh, is it a DC fighting game?
It's a DC fighting game.
Where's this from?
That's fucking right. It's from NetherRealm, I believe the name is.
Is it a video game?
It's a video game. It's not out yet. It's coming out in April. It's done by the same guys who did Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat versus DC or just Mortal Kombat?
Well, that's the same guys. They did Mortal Kombat and Mortal Kombat versus DC. Mortal Kombat versus DC being bad for reasons.
Do you know that some of those guys like live in the area?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's from Midway.
Yeah,
they're all remnants of Midway. Midway used to be right over near Chicago. Like that, I think you could still probably find this burnt out shell of a warehouse around here because they used to make pinball machines.
Yeah,
Midway was all completely founded on building pinball machines because everyone built pinball machines. There were shit tons of companies. Well, Midway was the Chicago company. I think there was another one. There's now only one interesting fact about pinball machines. There is one company.
There's nothing interesting about pinball machines.
There used to be 70 plus companies that made pinball machines. There is now one.
Yeah, because pinball's lame.
Yeah, pinball's pretty fun. But
how is it fun? It's like click, click, click.
See, you are a casual, sir. Unless, you do not know the.
Don't call me casual when it comes to pinball.
You are a casual.
I'm not even casual at pinball.
I'm the pinball wizard.
Pinball blows. Pinball is the worst game, unless it's pinball of Star Trek: The Next Generation,
which is amazing.
It's the best. Pinball
it's an amazing
game ever.
Pinball machine.
I would just want that because it's Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Yeah,
that's
the fun thing about pinball machines. Pinballs are a novelty, and the novelty of being able to like smack the little bumpers and have Picard go like engage. You're like, he said engage. That's what he says on the TV.
Yeah, it's not like,
DC.
Yes,
DC fighting games.
Go.
So NetherRealm.
NetherRealm.
It is they're back to block. There's no block button, which is huge, super huge. I know you have no idea how big that is, but when I saw that, when that was confirmed, I actually like in the middle of my office at work, I went yes.
Well, no, I play fighting games. I'm not a big fan of them because I think that the skill level is pretty
high.
No, I was talking about this with Pat. I think that skill level and that fighting most games have a skill level that's very linear. You have like you're shitty at it or you're really good at it, and it's like a shitty is a 0 and really good at it's a 10,
mm-hmm.
and it's like a straight line. Fighting games are the only one where it's a circle, and being really shitty at the game and being really good at the game goes this circle all the way around and it touches each other because like even the best guy can be brought down by a little kid mashing buttons.
No,
just out of pure luck. It's like
not
monkeys,
possible.
Monkeys and typewriters.
Not possible.
Monkeys and typewriters.
Not possible.
I believe it is.
You're wrong. There's fighting game tournaments that it never happens.
Yeah, that's because no little kids go to those fighting
games. Yeah, there actually was a little kid at the last Marvel vs. Capcom tournament, and you know what? He was actually pretty good. Because you can watch their feet. You can watch the things on stream. If you bash buttons, I will challenge you in any fighting game I currently own. You can mash all the buttons you want. You'll never win a game.
I will. I'm going to put it in my dick, and I'm just going to like dick stomp it.
You'll never win.
I will.
I will beat you every match.
My dick will beat you.
You might somehow get lucky and win a round, which is, you know, 2 out of 3 is a match.
I'm aware.
You'll
of that.
Never win a match.
I believe I would. I believe
never.
My dick would.
Now,
I believe my child would.
Give me a moment. There are a few fighting games that would fall into that category, which would be like Tekken, Soul Calibur.
Soul Calibur.
Yeah, those games. Those games are.
Is Soul Calibur the one with Ivy, the big boobs?
Yes. Yes. Okay. There's a few. You can mash your way to victory in those games, which is why you generally don't see them in fighting game tournaments because they're low. They have like a essentially an RNG thing where someone could just be like, buttons.
Hey, buoy.
You know, I mean, I might be wrong with the newer Tekkens and Soul Calibur, but I mean, I played Tekken 3. You pick Eddie Gordo and you hammer the back button and you alternate between the kicks. You just win all day.
I like that you brought up Eddie Gordo into this podcast. That's going to be a first that Eddie Gordo has ever been brought up in any podcast I've ever been on. I've done 76 episodes of Planet Arbitrary, 20 episodes of Game Classy, and I did about 15 episodes of Retro Game Review. Eddie Gordo has never come up.
So
in the over 100 podcasts that I have done, Eddie Gordo has never come up, and you win, right, sir. Awesome. You win the Eddie Gordo Award.
Yes, it's an afro. So they're not doing the high-low attacks of Mortal Kombat. It's weak, medium, strong, and character. Yeah. So one that's going to have like a character-specific thing. So I assume
special.
Yeah, Superman special or whatever. Back to block. It looks great. I've been putting stuff on Facebook and like, you know, doing little like just spamming about it, I guess, because it looks so good. I'm so excited about it.
Well, I'm glad. And
you're absolutely wrong about that circle of fighting
games. If this was Play On, this would be awesome, but it's not. This is Game Classy.
I don't know what Play On is.
Play On is the video game podcast.
I thought that was
the
Retro Game Review.
Well, we changed its name. It's now Play On.
I still call it the Retro Game Review.
Well, I can't.
Those douches at the Retro Game Review. Well, you know what? I don't care, because that's what I'm hyped about right now. I'm not hyped about anything else.
All right. Well, anyway, thank you for listening. Go to planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. I'm going to start to put up some articles about The Walking Dead or The Walking Dead.
I should write some articles.
You should. I'd put them up. Nice. Especially if you want to write about gaming, I'd put them up for you.
All right.
You could follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You could follow Steve at Game Classy. Like our Facebook page. I'm gonna start up a new contest soon, but I think the contest is gonna be related to a tournament that I'm gonna be running soon.
That's not very fair.
What, run the contest through the tournament?
Yeah.
No, it'll be linked together. So I'm gonna bring together things with the podcast, bring together our online community with our real community.
Oh man, you're gonna collide worlds.
Collide worlds, collide.
Oh man, what? You're killing independent George.
All right. Because I really, really, really want to run a Game Classy tournament, and I feel like this spring we got some good stuff coming out. With Chaos coming out, it gives us a good opportunity to do some 40K stuff, probably. Mm. You know, run it somewhere, maybe do some painting competitions. You know,
dick measuring contest,
maybe a little auction.
You can guess ranges, like how big is this dick, and you'd be like, I think it's 4 inches.
Okay,
and
so
you measure.
Here's the thing: at this tournament, you're not allowed to use any tape measures. You're only allowed to use your dick.
And your dick has to be flaccid.
No erect dicks. If it's erect, it's gay. You can't play this game if you're gay. That's the way that most gamers would be.
Yeah.
This is gay.
He got hard. That shit's gay.
I ain't playing this, dude.
What an asshole.
I'm going to go look at it some more. Can I take a picture of it so I can show people how gay it is?
It's totally gay.
Takes a picture of it. Sitting in
the bathroom crying. There's a lot of homophobia in gaming.
There's
communities.
So much.
I don't get it.
You know, and I think a lot of it traces back to like Xbox, like Xbox Live.
Oh, being called a faggot by everybody, little kid.
Yeah, which is terrible.
Yeah, awful.
Yeah, and it's like, and I don't really. I think a lot of it. It's just, I don't know. I don't. I would love to make more comments on it, but I think I'm just generalizing on a lot of people. I think most people just don't care, and I also think that like it's part of the whole thing. It's like, yes, you're afraid of gay people, but you're also afraid of girls.
Yeah.
So that's just the gamer.
Maybe that's it. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's because like anything that could possibly hit intercourse with them, so they're probably not afraid of lesbians.
No, they're not.
So there you go. That see, now it all makes sense. All
right. So until next time, Steve.
I'm fucking going to watch Star Trek.